welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
Hey, all right, so you're listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
It's going to be the bagel cam now.
Because yeah,
we
right.
are at Ohio Linux Fest.
That's right, and you can see Matt there eating a bagel.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so...
I suppose that's only if you're on the Google Hangout.
Yeah, that's true. I could visually describe it, but it would be...
No, we don't want to lose listeners.
That's right, we don't.
This week was really busy with me at work, so I didn't get any show prep done. This morning I was looking through the distros. There's only two of them, so I guess it was light work, but...
Yeah. An easy job. Easy job this week for you. All right, so...
Matt had a long day at work.
Oh, gosh. Wednesday was a killer. 15 hours. But however, the last three of it were my own fault. I was doing an rsync for a customer, and you don't know what the... You can't tell what the... partitions on the machine you're syncing to are, you have to rely on a table that we have that says, like, SDB7 is user, SDB5 is var. And we changed our scheme between CentOS 5 and CentOS 6, and I accidentally read the CentOS 5 table and sunk user to var.
All right.
So then I had to do it all over again.
And you still have a job, though.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my fault. My boss was there when I got back, and I says, hey... So they said, what took you so long? I said, well, when you sync user to var instead of var to var, that'll happen. And he goes, double thumbs up.
All right.
And then I suggested to the guy that maintains our guide, our internal documentation, that there should be significant white space between the CentOS 5 table and the CentOS 6 table, so no one else does that. And he agreed and put it in right away.
That's good. Yeah. Sometimes those little mistakes lead to a breakthrough in quality.
There you go.
That's a good way to word it.
That's how I would word it. So, let's see, what did I do? I drove to Ohio. what else? Just a lot of stuff getting ready for this little ad lib live show, kind of on the fly show. So that's about it, I guess. Oh, I found my phone too. Like I told you guys that I found my phone, so now I have my nice Samsung Galaxy S3, which is actually tethered here and acting as our internet connection, and that's how you're seeing me. But I also now have my HTC 3D phone at home, which I'm gonna. Send back to the phone, or go back to the store and get some money back.
Oh, they'll do that?
Yeah, $50. He told me when I got my Galaxy.
Wow.
So I'm going to get that back.
Cool.
Hopefully it's still $50. Maybe it's only $45 by the time I get back.
When I turned in my BlackBerry, it was $5.
How long did you have it?
I don't know, 2 years.
Oh, yeah, because I've had that phone for, I think, 6 months. So, all right. All right, well, we're going to continue on then, aren't we?
Yes.
All right,
continuing on.
We've caught up with what we all did.
Yes, we did.
What's next?
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
What's going on in the kernel? We don't have much in the kernel this week. There were no stable updates. There was a release candidate on the 24th. So the release candidates are now at 3.5.-RC7. Is that right?
I think it's 3.5.
Coffee and bagels, Curtis.
I don't think so. No. There's
bagels,
never a second dot.
Coffee over there,
oh, okay. Yeah, it's RC7.
And there were no stable releases. And my quote of the week comes from Linus Torvalds, and he says, "Minky, stop it," because she brought in a dead chipmunk to the house.
Again?
Yeah, again.
Get bagels and coffee if you want some.
And if you talk loud enough, you'll actually be on our podcast.
Or you can just not. All right, so thanks, Matt, for that. I'm sorry?
Oh, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, well, thanks, Matt, for the kernel update.
You're welcome.
Brief, but informative.
Yes, there was nothing happening. There's nothing happening in the kernel.
Well, that happens. Or it doesn't happen, I guess. That doesn't happen. So, all right, so what's next?
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
Is Tony up and ready with the distro news?
It is distro news, and I need to bring up my printup. Since we don't have Wi-Fi at the moment, or it's still not working for me.
Uh-huh. I have a hotspot.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're using her phone on, a hotspot.
Yeah, we've got the Google Hangout going, but I don't want to... all right, we have two this week. We have Artistics 1.3. They're a live DVD based on Ubuntu with free software creating for creating audio, video, and graphic media files.
Yeah, you know, I downloaded and ran that off the live DVD.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty impressive. There's a lot of stuff on there.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
It's
I've heard of
I'm thinking of actually putting it on my Bemis hosting laptop.
Oh, sweet.
And trying it out and doing some movie editing. So anyway, but yeah, so I
you can get on the
cool.
live stream. You're on the live stream right now.
Yeah.
And we're recording the show on that.
So we're having a lot of fun here.
Well, then we have Slackware 14.
Yeah.
That was released on the 20...
Slackware had a release?
Something.
Yeah.
Cool.
They just had a... They just had a... Slackware just had a, I think, a development release, didn't they, recently? So,
oh, yeah.
There
what,
it is.
What is it? What are we saying? She's showing me.
I has a Galaxy S3...
S3,
yeah, right. That's what I'm telling you over here. Loving
that's
it.
Awesome.
I have an S2.
Oh, no, it's how you left it.
It's okay.
So.
But that's all we have for the distro.
Can't you do the top five?
Top five. Mary actually.
Mary's got the list.
Yeah, I do have the top five, and I'm going to...
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
All right, we have... Number five, we have Debian.
And I can't tell if it's trending up or down. No.
I'll give you a hand signal.
Oh, okay, okay.
Debian at number five with 1284.
And trending up.
Fedora at number four with 1690.
And trending down.
Ubuntu is back at number three with 2174.
And trending up.
And Magia is at number two with 2671.
And trending down.
And Mint's back at number one.
Woohoo!
With 3210.
Gotta love that minty goodness, and it's trending up.
Woo!
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. And so, I guess it's time for...
Mary, what's on SDA 6 this week?
You have something special for your
I do have something
week,
special. That's right. Should I just stand in front of the camera?
If you
that's
want.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Usually I do what's on SDA 6, but this week I'm doing a distro drive-by. And this is a special edition of what's on SDA 6 for the 2012 Ohio Linux Fest.
Well, you're right in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Am I? Okay, so I shouldn't move. So anyway, so this week, as I said, I'm doing just a drive-by. And no, it's not a segment where I shoot a couple of distros and then drive away at a high rate of speed. It's a series of quick summaries of recent distros designed to inform and hopefully entertain. Our first drive-by is Kros Linux, and that's spelled C-R-O-S Linux, formerly known as Chrome OS Linux. This distro's claim to fame is that it's built around the revolutionary Chromium browser. And then the site goes on to say that it provides a lightweight Linux distribution similar to Google Chrome for the best web browsing experience on any x86 PC, netbook, or notebook. Now, to reduce confusion, the site also says that Chrome Linux is not related to Google, despite the fact that the Google Chrome logo is prominently displayed on the project link I clicked on from DistroWatch. Wow, I thought, this is a browser-based OS, a la netbook style? Perceptions don't meet reality here. It seems that when you open up a traditional desktop with an open Chrome browser. Now, the Chrome instance does contain a robust set of Google tools, but there doesn't seem to be anything revolutionary here. Aside from that disappointment, however, there are a few things about this distro I want to tell you about. First of all, it's Kros Linux was built on the OpenSUSE Builder service, so OpenSUSE branding is very evident throughout this distro. It also uses Cinnamon for its desktop, and that's Cinnamon 1.6. It's got the Linux 3.4.6 kernel, and it also sports a dashboard and a social toolbar, but it's only available when the Chrome browser is open. Now, this dashboard allows you to connect to Facebook, Yahoo, Twitter, other social media sites. And also, it's got a news summary, video, and some other things. Again, there was nothing here that made me think, wow, I wanna get this. But there is a very, very interesting feature of Cross Linux, and that is the InSync Beta 5 client for Google Drive for Linux.
I thought this would be a brief review.
So is it cool or does it suck?
It's cool.
How many cups of coffee?
Hold everything. Can I get your autograph?
You already did.
Give me another one. That was good.
All right. Hang on just a sec. But anyway, yeah, I have a couple of Google accounts, and I provided the credentials for one of them. And all of a sudden, InSync automatically added my Google documents that I had online to my to a little InSync folder that it was automatically created on in my home directory. So I was very impressed with that. So Cross Linux actually saved itself from my two cups of coffee, and they got about two and a half.
Two and a half cups?
Yeah, but most of that was due to the fact that it had InSync in there, its beta, and it actually worked pretty slick.
You know, InSync sounds a little too close to a band that I did.
Yeah.
All right.
That we don't want to be associated with.
All right. The next drive-by is Zest Linux. Now, with a name like Zest, you know, it has to be refreshing. That is, if you're into keyboard window managers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. As the distro's philosophy section of their website notes, Zest was built mainly for the Linux enthusiast. Now, whenever I hear the word Linux enthusiast, I'm thinking, command line. And that's okay. But the site goes on to say, we are no GUI enthusiasts, because we believe that although using a GUI is much simpler and convenient, one has to actually type commands and analyze the output and logs in order to learn how to use the system.
So, I agree.
So anyway, but Zest download weighs in at a relatively slim 448 megabytes.
Where's this plugged into?
Now, as the site notes, Zest uses DWM, which is a dynamic window manager. And it conveniently comes in a live CD, and after I booted into it, I can safely say that the Spartans of ancient Greece had a more lavish lifestyle compared to the desktop on display before me. Remember, it's just a wallpaper and a tiny command line panel at the top. Now, first of all, just a quick description of DWM if you're a keyboarder. You're likely to be in seventh heaven. Now, I know a few guys who swear by these minimalist window managers. Various key combinations allow you to open programs, tile them, shift window focus, etc. Now, a few people may swear by them. There are, of course, are others who swear at them, and I perhaps find myself in that second category. Now, the left side of the top panel displays a series of digits from 1 to 9. Now, these digits represent tags or workspaces. It was really kind of interesting when I started playing around with it. I was able to click my mouse, and again, their window manager includes a mouse pointer, but I was able to click my mouse to shift between these workspaces to show open windows or the desktop. To the right of the tag numbers is a symbol set to indicate the window mode. You can be in tile mode, float mode, and... also, you can be in what's called monocle, which will focus on a current program. Hey. Now, information about this nascent Linux distro is sparse. It's also not clear to me how to install Zest Linux, and I suspect that it's because I have to build it from scratch. Remember, Zest maintainers want you to actually type commands. So Zest Linux, and again, this is my little drive-by, Zest Linux gets about 1.5 to 2 cups of coffee, simply because there wasn't a lot of information there that would really help someone who wants to try it out. And so that's why it kind of failed on that.
Why don't we shift over a little bit so we're not covering the bagels.
Oh.
So other people can get the bagels.
All right. Yeah, come on up and get the bagels, everybody. All right, so now we're going to... Okay.
We're shifting the camera.
Yeah, very good. Can you see me now? Can you hear me now?
Move a little more to your right.
How about there?
Well, what's comfortable? Get a chair if you want to sit.
No, that's fine.
All right.
All right. The next drive-by is a Kunix.
what next? Who next? I downloaded what must be the smallest distro ever. Huh? You mean that zip tarball I downloaded doesn't contain the distro? Oh, those are the instructions for building it. Yeah, I lucked out again. Unlike Kros Linux, where I actually installed and checked it out, I'll confess to not actually building Hunix. Time limitations this week. Now, Hunix touts itself as an anonymous general purpose. It's always interesting if it's anonymous and general purpose. Usually anonymous means it's for a special purpose. Operating system based on VirtualBox, Debian, GNU Linux, and Tor. Now, before it encountered trademark issues with the Tor project, it was called TorBox. So you might have known it as TorBox.
Oh, I didn't know TorBox.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. So Unix consists of two virtual machines. One machine solely runs Tor and acts as the gateway to the interwebs. The second machine is the Unix workstation. And from there, of course, it's a completely isolated network and only connects to the outside via the other Tor box inside the virtual machines. The project homepage has a full project description, and I encourage you to go there and read it, and you can also download information about it. Again, there was no virtual machines that are already set up, at least none that I could find, so it looks to me like, again, they've got some directories and things that I think you've got to put in place yourself in order to make this work. Now, the project homepage has a full project description, but when I went there to download, it was a rather confusing situation greeted me. The name of the latest version was Old Development Only. Seems to me that the latest version has, if the latest version has the word old in it, it needs to be clarified. And I got a screenshot because it was so strange where it says latest version, it says old development.
Yeah.
And it was kind of confusing. So Hunet, again, sometimes these folks are very well intended, but if you don't have it clear, it takes a little bit of picking through to figure out what it is. So that's my last distro drive-by this week. Hunix, I give it about
half a cup.
Half a cup. Half a cup of hazelnut Einstein Brothers coffee. There you have it. All right.
All right, thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So we want to say hi to our three people hanging out with us.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's our podcast. We're recording our podcast, and we're going out live on Google Street.
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah. That's cool. So
we're the Sunday Morning Linux Review.
Yeah. Sunday morning. Yep. Sunday morning Linux Review. Yep. And
so then, why don't you sit down?
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
No. It's from Chicago.
Okay, so what's next now?
Convention scene.
Oh, the convention scene. Wow. I might as well just stay put.
All right.
I've got the convention scene. And this is the Linux convention scene for October 2012. On October, let's see, we're starting off here October 11th through the 13th. And this is in Paris, France. We've got the Open World Forum. This is a leading global forum bringing together decision makers, developers, and users from all over the world to cross-fertilize open technological business and societal initiatives to shape the digital future. A link to that particular convention will be in the show notes. We also have coming up, again, this is a friend of Linux, Blender. The Blender Conference, BlenderCon 2012, is a great mix of tech talks, scientific presentations, case studies from studios, workshops by artists and developers. This is October 12th through the 14th in Amsterdam.
Ooh, Amsterdam.
I would almost go just because
just
of that.
For the marijuana.
We heard Mad Dog talking last night.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Blender was actually started by a proprietary company.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah.
I knew that. I kind of forgot about it. But they went belly up and people contributed.
Yeah. Yeah, they raised money online and got enough money and actually bought the software.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's very cool. That's very cool. So that's the BlenderCon in Amsterdam. All right, the next one, and here's another good one here. This is EclipseCon Europe. EclipseCon is about sharing best practices, insights, and case studies and innovations in the Eclipse community and wider world of software development. This is October 23rd through the 25th, and it's in Forum am Schlosspark in Ludwigsburg, Germany. We also had TDOS 2012. Now, you're probably wondering what TDOS is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Sounds like something with DOS. I don't want to get involved.
Well, but it didn't have that E on it.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It's the Technical Dutch Open Source Event.
Ooh, Amsterdam again.
Woohoo! No, actually it isn't. Oh. But it's October 27th and 28th. Now, TDAS is a free yearly event held in the Netherlands to promote use and development of open source software. This year they have 3D printing. 3D printing. Did you know that you can
3D? They had 3D printing at PenguinCon.
And I missed it. A few years ago.
I missed it.
Well, Public Station 1 Chicago has a 3D
And this
printer
is this particular convention is at Fontys University of Applied Science in Eindhoven, Netherlands. So that's TDAS 2012.
Hey, the marijuana thing. Is that all of the Netherlands or just Amsterdam?
I think it's all.
Yeah, marijuana's legal in the Netherlands.
Yeah, but I heard that they have restricted it to citizens. They no longer have...
There goes the tourism industry. Why else would you go to Amsterdam?
Just for the weed.
Well, there goes my trip.
I'm telling you, I'm planning it. I was getting my passport and everything.
Hey, just buy a local guy a joint, and he'll buy you some.
All right, we're gonna go from marijuana to the next one. In October 25th to 26th, 2012, we got the Free Software and Open Source Symposium. This annual event provides a venue to share the latest trends in open source. It's an event aimed at bringing together industry developers, educators in the community, and other interested parties. Again, this is in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, at the Seneca York campus. Again, there'll be a link to that in the show notes.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know,
I was thinking
not too far away.
Yeah, I was thinking about going because it's only about 4 hours from us.
But then you have to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, we should go to a Toronto.
Sunday morning lunch for
I really do want to go, but that's like the weekend that my wife is due with her new baby.
So
I don't think I can go then.
No, that would be that would be great. We gotta get someone on to not too far away.
I don't think
where was this one at?
Toronto.
I can't cross the border. That's a long story. We won't get into it.
All right.
Well, we're going to move right along.
You'll have a dual citizenship.
All right. The next one is ARM TechCon. Again, this is a premier event to connect, instruct, and advise and enable the world of electronic and computer design. It's actually a two-day conference, October 30th to November 1st, out in Santa Clara, California. Again, a link to all of these conventions will be in our show notes. And that, gentlemen, is October's convention scene.
All right, then.
Yeah, that's all awesome. Right.
Yeah.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
I got no news.
No, yeah, I figured we're at Ohio Linux Fest. That's news enough.
Yeah,
that's news enough. We're here.
So we're recording live from the Ohio Linux Fest. We'll probably also have some audio to kick in from dinner last night.
Yeah, we had dinner with
at Mongo.
The Matt's chewing. Feature Matt's chewing.
Matt had a gigantic
20 scoop ice cream. I couldn't finish it. Because I had two bowls. If I'd only had one bowl, I think I could have finished it.
All right. But, you know, actually, I've got a couple of things. Since you don't have news, I got a couple of things.
All right. Excellent.
I don't know if you guys heard, but vandals broke into a congressman's office in Brooklyn, New York.
I did hear
and installed
about
Linux on the PCs.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's awesome. They thought somebody came in and
that's true.
A terrorist coming in on their computers hacking.
Right. He said a U.S. congressman has been left incensed after miscreants installed Linux on computers in his campaign office, possibly trashing some data in the process. Maybe if they formatted it, perhaps.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why they have backups.
Michael Grimm, a Republican who represents a district in New York covering Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn, has slammed the weekend break into his office as a politically motivated crime against the democratic process. Anyway, a link to that...
you know those communist Linux users.
Oh, yeah. Those left-wingers. Anyway, a link to that little news article will be in the show notes. I saw that.
Happened? A tech guy was in there working on their computers, and it was a live distro, just a live CD.
They left the live CD, and they
forgot to pull it out.
That's all it was.
It was just a coincidence that same night, vandals came through and broke their front window.
Oh, yeah, because I saw about the brick or some concrete had been thrown through the window. Isn't that something?
I did not read this at all. That's fantastic.
I heard it on either the Tilts show the other night or one of the other podcasts.
Okay.
That was funny.
All right. Next one. We talked about this next one, so I won't go into too much detail, but that's the NSYNC Google Drive client for Linux beta 2.
I refuse to use it. They took too long to get it out. F them.
All right. Well, anyway, I of course am of the belief better late than never. So
Apple.
I'm
Google
be
doesn't
it.
Give a shit about us Linux users.
Oh yes, they do. But anyway, the good news, everyone, is that it's available in both the Deb and RPM. I've installed the Deb, and it works. It works great.
That's awesome.
As far as I can tell. So yeah, syncs right. between it.
F them.
Okay. Yeah, put more stuff in the Google Cloud. That way, when they decide to take over, then you have nothing.
Yeah. I could go on about that, you know, because I'm trying to open up my Nook, Barnes & Noble Nook reader. All my books disappeared because I wasn't connected. So, and again, it just goes to show. Here's another one. Microsoft dismisses Google's open source browser benchmark. Microsoft, they're apparently registered that they were unimpressed by Google's ambitious Robo Hornet project, calling it a micro benchmark. It's like, you got
Robo
a little
Hornet.
One. Yeah, that lacks real world relevance. Robo Hornet is actually a modular suite of performance tests and uses the benchmark.js framework to run on and measure.
Microsoft just pissed off this Internet Explorer scored like zero on this benchmark.
Yeah, that's right. Probably. But a link to that story will be in the show notes.
There's one benchmark Microsoft to win, the fastest exploit.
Yeah, exactly. But this last one I thought was pretty interesting, and I don't know if you guys have heard about these crypto parties.
No. Key signings? Key signing parties?
Well, they go back up. A little more than that. Oh. It's security experts and professionals, what they do is they get together with members of the general public and show them, that's probably part of it, but also show them about various programs and apps that are available to enhance and increase security.
No.
And when I was reading these, and again, a link to this will be in the show notes, I came across one called CryptoCat. Now, what's really neat about CryptoCat is that it's a plugin that's available in Firefox, Chrome, and I installed the Chrome version. And what it does...
It encrypts the web pages so you can't read them?
That's not useful.
Yeah, so I was suddenly speechless. Fancy that. What it actually does is it will encrypt the chat. You've got it installed, the plugin installed in your Chrome browser. Let's say I haven't. So what happens is that before my chat gets sent to you, it's encrypted.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yes, and so when it goes through the server, it's already encrypted. There's nothing on the server.
Because chats are all plain text usually. That's
exactly.
Very cool. That's
exactly.
Very cool.
And it was so cool that the developer was detained by Homeland Security and questioned because of this app. So
really?
Again, I tested it because I got two networks in my house. So I had one of my laptop on one network, my desktop on the other, and I was going back and forth with it. It was really
I could
cool.
just see Mary running back and forth across her house.
Actually, I was sitting here, it was like this.
You had to wreck the illusion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was right next to me.
Hey, did Homeland Security visit you after that?
Yeah, no, they didn't actually, but they... Yeah, who knows? But it was pretty cool.
They can't
so
find her now,
again,
she's not here.
if you search for CryptoCat in the Chrome store, you'll find it, and I think also Firefox plugin. But it's really a great little encrypted chat client. So need to check that out. And then Ronald. My last one is Torvalds calls Romney an effing moron.
Oh no! We can't be having this. We can't be having
this.
Torvalds, I love you, but Romney is not a moron. Go on.
Well, I think they're both morons. Come on.
Anyway, there'll be a link to Linus's comments in the show notes. I won't go on to that one because we're trying not to politicize.
He actually posted a little bit of a retraction.
Oh, did he?
Saying that. Well,
he was
I think Romney was only joking about it.
Oh, about the airplane windows?
So he's not really. All I saw is he was actually joking, so I don't really mean
some
that.
Of his comments, I think, they have to be this real kind of really...
Well, Linus tends to just shoot right from the hip.
Yeah. but Romney's comments, some of them, I think they've got to be a joke, because
sometimes,
like the trees are just... When he was at the Detroit Economic Club, he said the trees are just the right height in Michigan, and I'm thinking... Now, that sounds like...
That is humor.
Yeah.
And people don't get it, because they expect the Republicans to be all this staunch.
Well, most of them are.
No, they are not. They're not. Never mind. This is not a political show.
That's right. It's not. So anyway, that is what we got as far as news items that I had. Now, the other thing that I've got, too, while...
Well, it's all about me.
You were the only one that did any show prep.
That's right. I got the KDE Corner this week, and we got some really cool stuff. There's a brand new weekly video podcast from the KDE developers, or a group of them, four of them actually, KDE Tea Time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is. And it's Alex Fiestas.
Bagels and Coffee, courtesy of the Sunday Morning Linux Review.
Vishesh Panda, and then two other gentlemen, Martin and Dave, whose last names I was unable to unearth. But anyway, what they do is they talk about experiences with KDE and KDE apps. This last show, what they did is they talked about KDE applications that are outside of the compilation will be at the
right.
KDE comp. And they opined about why people don't seem to be using them very much. So a link
good.
To that podcast, that video podcast, will be in the show notes. Our next one is Kixi26 is going to be coming out soon. And Yaroslav Staniak had a blog post about that. Some interesting things about Kexi 2.6, and actually the most interesting thing is that it's going to have a backup, so that if you do something, for example, maybe alter the table design and it doesn't work well, you're going to be able to back up. Now, what's really cool about that is this type of thing apparently isn't available in other database programs like Microsoft Access. So Kexi's going to have this really cool little thing in 2.6. Continuing on, there was a blog posting by Dan Rittel giving us a peek at improvements in the KDE Display Management utility. Problem with the KDE Display Management utility, Matt, is that it's a lot of times the settings don't persist, so you've got to, when you boot up again, you've got to set them in. Gnome, I think, handles it much better than KDE.
Now, what do you, I don't understand display management.
Dual monitors,
okay.
And that type of thing.
Because I was like, I just use my native resolution and I'm good.
No, that's fine. But, if you want to clone the monitor, if you want to have
dual monitors and for a projector, I get it.
And so KDE just didn't handle it very well, but the good news is that there's work being done on it right now. And I have a link to the blog post in the show notes, but what I really liked about it is you're going to be able to, from the screenshots I saw, you're going to be able to make the adjustments on the fly from the system tray. They'll have a little icon in the system tray, and if you've got that up and running, you can make adjustments and clone it or shift it from multiple displays.
I know I loved KDE. So.
That's right. And I got to work with you, too, on KDE, too, if there's some.
He's given up. He's back on Cinnamon.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, I got Cinnamon yesterday, and it's working great.
Another cool thing, KMyMoney is now going to have support for activities. And what's really nice about this is if you use KDE activities.
Free bagels and coffee.
Free bagels and coffee, everybody, courtesy of Sunday Morning Linux Review, and we're live podcasting over here. But KMyMoney is going to allow you to separate out expenses into various KDE activities. If that's, if you've got a personal activity stuff you do and work activities, you're going to be able to separate expenses associated with it. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then, of course, the last thing I want to mention is that Mozilla, they just completed 10 successful years. I remember when Mozilla went, it's at 1.0 came out.
Yeah,
I sent some money in and they ran a full...
the full newspaper.
My name
it was
there,
two pages.
I got a little poster from it. My name, it's about 0.1 font, but my name is in there. So anyway, but that's KDE Corner and then my little firebox. So,
all right. Awesome. Beautiful.
All right, so what else we got?
That's probably about it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we have a little bit of time before the keynote actually starts. Yeah.
So a couple of reader feedback.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
Any of the listener feedback.
I do.
I left it all on my...
I do.
Mary's got
it. I guess I'm just prepared. Wow, I don't know of the three of us who prepared.
If you're a regular listener, you know that's not the case.
That's true. You were in class
I'm giving
all day yesterday.
Yeah, they were learning. All right. But anyway, Robert, let's see if I can get this to open. Last week I got an email from Robert Wooden, who had previously written in. And
is that font big enough, man?
Yeah, it is now. what he wanted to tell me is, on our game show, and by the way, I guess we're going to push the game out this week.
Yeah, no game this week.
No game this week.
Sorry.
I do have it, though, but I don't think we're going to be able to do it.
Oh, wait.
But anyway.
Your battery died.
Oh, so the feed's gone.
Feed's done.
The live feed's done.
Sure? But we're still recording here.
Yeah, we're still recording.
I thought it just went on the screen.
It went to sleep.
Oh, okay. Did it?
We went to sleep.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Screw that. Let's just do the quick thing.
Yeah. And Robert, he initially wrote in saying that he didn't think Linspire was dead because he said that he had gotten a netbook that he thought that they were still installing Linspire that was still available. But then he wrote back again to me and said no, that it was really Linpus, not
right, Linspire. Right, right,
so,
right, right.
Yeah. Linpus. So that was one that I had. Yep. And then comment I got too was one that I think again we get spam comments. Are we still recording?
The show, but we're not live anymore.
Okay, we get spam comments on our site just like most other sites, and this one here was particularly funny to me because it said, "Whoa, this blog is fantastic! I love studying your posts. Keep up the good paintings." And I just thought, you know, I just started laughing when I saw that, so I just thought I'd share that. So that was one feedback.
Very amusing.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, but that's all I got.
All right. That's pretty much all I got. Want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Right.
So we are at the Ohio Linux Fest. Woo-hoo! This is actually just before the keynote, Saturday morning. This is episode 51.
51. Yep. The Ohio Linux Fest.
Yeah, Ohio Linux
Fest. Oh, is that a prime number?
Maybe next one will be a year, right?
Yeah. And then, so this is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying have a good week. See you next week.
All right.
All right.
Got that done?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. I'm a member of the show, but I've never been to the website.
That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
No.
You just phrased it a little differently.
Yeah, I phrased it differently because what I was really saying is that I've not been to the IRC page.
Oh.
I'm in that site all the time.
Good recovery. Good
those
recovery.
Those downloads are me. No. And then you'll have a heavy editing job. Are you making notes?
Kind of. I'll just listen through it. I'm gonna risk my life and let Matt drive home, maybe. And I'll edit the show on our 3-hour drive home.
Oh, there you go. All right, that'll be good.
Risk my life.
So I was looking you up on Google Plus.
Yes, sir.
Are you Mary Joe?
No, Mary T.
Mary T.
No Tomich. Just okay. Mary T.
If you find us, then she'll be one of our. She's in
yeah, she's,
our
yeah. She's linked to us. So
I'll go find you. I'll find you and follow you.
Now that I know what I'm looking for.
So, okay.
Yeah, so the photo is out on Google Plus and Facebook.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. First photo of the Saturday publicity.
All right.
Okay. All right, so we'll just continue on. Yeah, because we had that going for a while.
Oh, yeah. It is 11 minutes left, so we got 10 minutes to talk.
All right.
Well, so, Mary,
on Linux convention wrap-up.
Yeah, what was your most favorable, memorable moment?
My most memorable moment was going to Joe Brockmeyer's lecture about making your own cloud.
Yeah.
And sitting through it thinking, oh, my God, I could never figure all that out. With Joe at the very end saying, oh, I gave the wrong lecture. So then he takes out the second set of slides and kind of goes through it like that. Oh, okay, that's a little more of what I would expect it to be talking about Amazon, you know, EC, or EC2 and all of that, and S3 and blah, blah, blah. So that made a lot of sense. So that was like one of my more memorable moments.
Yeah, that's hilarious. My most memorable moment was that the Ohio Linux Fest sucked.
Oh, come on.
Either I made bad decisions and went to the wrong talks, or it sucked. And I'm going to go with it sucked. The training, however, was good. I would come back for the training again and do other training, but not the same training again, obviously. But other training. The training was excellent on Friday, I thought.
All right. Cool.
Well, good. Good. What was the other thing I was going to say? One of my most memorable non-convention moment was watching Matt attempt to eat 20 scoops of ice cream sundae.
Oh, man. That was huge.
needless to say, he got through probably about what?
Half.
Almost half of it, I think.
Yeah. I would have been able to do it if I wouldn't have had this second bowl of food. But I had two bowls of food.
Oh, my goodness.
And Tony?
Well, mine, I went in to talk, to watch a talk about running your own business and see if you're ready to do it. To sit there for about 15 minutes, and all he talks is about, all right, so it's this guy talking about some kind of databases and doing a couple other things. And then I look down at the program, and it's supposed to be a lady talking about it.
I know, I went to that, I went into that same thing. As soon as this guy starts talking, I think I'm in the wrong room. So then I got up and left.
Yeah, I didn't go to that talk because I walked 6 blocks to go to a CVS to find a Bank of America ATM. Only discovered that there are no Bank of Americas in Columbus anywhere, period.
No, but actually, the most memorable that I'm going to remember is getting to meet all the people that I've been listening to.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
not
yeah.
all of them, but a lot of them. They're door-to-door.
Yep.
He's here.
Joel.
Yeah, the whole, almost the entire crew of the Tilts.
Yeah.
Yep, that was enjoyable.
A couple of the guys
mm-hmm.
from...
I listened to them, too.
Yeah, the guys from the Techie Geek podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Got to meet them. What was it? One of the guys from Linux and the Ham Shack.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a table.
Yeah. Well, the guy at the table.
The ones in the Ham Shack people did? Yeah.
What was the coolest swag you got, Matt?
The coolest swag I got?
Yeah. Mm,
had to be the nipple popper.
I saw those on the table and I left them alone.
That's funny. T-shirts. I got like 4 t-shirts.
Did you?
LPI t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't get an LPI because it wouldn't fit, but I got a Cloud Stack t-shirt, and I got a Manta t-shirt that I'm going to give to Amanda because it's like a medium or something.
Yeah. What else? I got a OLF t-shirt. I got another mug shirt.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were they,
the Michigan Users Group.
Were they here? I mean, I saw somebody with a mug shirt on. But.
Yeah, he, well, he was from Mug, but he was helping out the Ohio... Ubuntu Loco.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sitting at their booth, and they had like 5 shirts left that they were trying to just give them away, get rid of them, because their mug is doing a new shirt design. So I got a new one of those.
I think we need to do something like that. Go to Cafe Press and get a bunch of stuff. I'm waiting to order the thong.
All you're going to get on there is SMLR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a joke, of course. So, anyway, well, it sounds like we all had... it sounds like at least 2/3 of us had a pretty good time.
You know, it's cool.
I had a good time.
Rackstack.
Rackspace.
Here. Rackspace, yeah. They were here. And they had a break-fix contest. You could sit down and figure out.
Yeah.
And right down to the 15 minutes, I knew what the fix would be. You had 15 minutes total. I was right about to do it. And they took it away from me.
Called time. I gave up. I gave up with 3 minutes left. I said, it had kicked my ass. I surrendered.
Yeah.
Tony told me you gave up. I was disappointed.
Oh, well. I was very disappointed that Carl didn't get it.
I know, Carl.
Yeah, I was surprised. But I guess...
But I was sitting there when the guy that got the fastest time did it. The guy that got the fastest time that did it was... sitting there doing it while Carl was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 3 minutes and, like, 30 seconds. And he didn't edit...
How can you do that back? You gotta cheat.
No, he didn't edit the PHP file either. He did it a different way. He was the only one that didn't edit the PHP file.
Oh.
PHP comp?
Yeah.
Well, it's .ini, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
PHP.ini is the company.
Yeah, yep.
You can tell I don't edit those files very often. All right, well. Okay.
So now, yeah, we're sitting down for dinner.
Yeah, we're then, eating some Chinese food.
Yep. And then we're going to meet with Dor and a bunch of other people and go over to the Oktoberfest
and get hammered before our test tomorrow morning.
That's right.
I'm sure you'll do well.
You know what I'm surprised? The test is on paper.
Yeah.
and then we're not going to know for weeks until they go back to Canada with our paper tests.
Really?
And tell us.
Well, because they said they've tried to bring the computers to these things before, and it just doesn't work out very well. But I'm going to take the LPIC level 1 test, and I'm going to take the Linux Essentials test. So I'm going to walk away with at least a certificate, because the Linux Essentials test is a no-brainer, I think.
Right.
Kind of like a certificate of participation. Well, good. I hope you...
Because this is the first place it's available. Mm. They rolled it out here. It was never available before.
Ooh.
And they only brought 20 tests with them. So you got to sign up early if you're going to take it.
Okay.
So, Mary, you drove your convertible down, right?
I did. I checked the weather. It's going to be nice. And I took the solstice. The top was down for about the first 40 miles.
Yeah, because in the email you said you were bringing something else, I thought.
I was going to bring the HHR, but the weather was nice, so I thought I'm taking the convert because I hadn't driven in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you found your phone.
And that's when I found my phone. Yes, amazing.
You know, you could probably get more than $50 if you sell it on Craigslist.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to clear out the contacts.
It's like 2 years
that.
Old. Or no, what is it? No, it's like 6 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you can sell it more than that. Mm-hmm. If I had Sprint, I'd buy it from you. Mm-hmm. But I don't.